Everyone needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You need sales help. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. If your sales need help, it's time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn new advanced strategies to close your next deal. We've got hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. It's like Jeffrey sitting there right next to you, helping you close your next deal. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge that you can actually use. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up for a free demo. Did I mention it's free? Free demo. I like free.
Can I just get one of my bugbears out? Anyone bitching and moaning about the millennial generation? Just remember, do you know who the biggest complainers about the millennials are? The people born in the 60s or raised in the 60s. Oh my God, you people were the worst, and you're bitching and moaning about them?
Exactly.
Sorry, Jeffrey.
No problem. I was raised in the 50s. Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time, right?
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying. Because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gleckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today, we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up. But first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die. So, diehards, circa 2006, I am invited to Fiji, the island of Fiji, by Brad Sugars, an action coach. And I get down like all excited, you know, it's a full fee gig, no argument about the fee. I get there, I'd never been to Fiji before, I'd never met Brad Sugars before. And I don't know what to expect. But he speaks before I speak, which is typical of a CEO because they don't want to get, you know, slaughtered. And I walk into this room and music is playing at full volume and every single person in the room is standing, clapping, singing. Rock. Brad Sugars walks into the room. I'm standing in the back of the room with everybody else. And he walks up to the stage. Big applause. He pumps his fist in the air and screams, Bula, which in Fiji is hello, goodbye, and peace. And the entire audience shuts up and sits down. Now, I will tell you that I have heard 2,000 CEOs speak and 1,999 of them suck. And Sugars gets up. And he starts this talk called Be, Do, Have. And normally I'm sitting there in the back of the room like, you know, dragging my foot on the ground like a horse ready to run a race waiting for the CEO to be done. And I'm taking notes at what this guy is saying because it's so meaningful and so impactful. It is the first time I ever sat down, listened to a CEO, and took notes. He founded Action Coach. He is a brilliant business person. He goes around the world and speaks. And let me tell you something. He commands attention because his speech and whatever he's saying has value to the listener. Diehards, please help me welcome the great Brad Sugars.
Hey, Jeffrey, Jen. Good to see you, buddy.
We're glad you're here.
If you would like to pay me in advance to deliver that eulogy at your funeral, I would be more than happy to accept nominal.
You'll be gone before me, brother, so it's quite okay. That's fine. So, listen, I love that, when people talk and when people do seminars and when CEOs get up and speak, they got to have a great message. And I think that it's not just the delivery, it's the actual teaching. And I think that's real important. And that's why you got great information and you're a bad deliverer of it. No one's going to care.
Right.
Exactly.
Awful information and you're a great deliverer. People kind of still sit up and listen. I've stayed and watched really bad movies till the end.
But here's the deal. Most CEOs don't understand that responsibility. They're more concerned with, we were 2.6 profitability last year. Now we're 2.7. How about that?
Yeah, most of the employees don't give a shit.
Right. They're texting their girlfriends in the back of the room.
If you don't show the people in your organization how their life shifts when the business shifts, then nothing's going to shift. I mean, there has to be an engagement of your team. There has to be that. Employee engagement is at all-time lows worldwide. And why? Well, maybe one of the reasons is the CEOs have no ability to inspire, no ability to educate, no ability to help them become better people, no ability to help them do a better job. People cannot outperform their training. We all know this.
I tell CEOs, if I have the honor of talking to them before the talk, I'm going to say, listen, dude, all these people in the audience are waiting for marching orders. All right, everybody, listen up. I want you to do three things this year, and this is how we're going to run the company. One, two, three, and done. And done.
Yeah. Yeah, but only three. Don't give them 300.
No.
Exactly. Oh, three.
No.
All right. So you founded Action Coach, which actually operates in over 70 countries. That's insane.
Yeah. We just actually opened Russia, which I got to update the website, obviously, because that's country number 88, Russia.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
You didn't collude with anybody, did you?
I got an introduction.
Gotcha.
Russia is a real interesting country to do business in, especially business coaching. Because, they're so entrepreneurial, and they got to be. They've got to be entrepreneurial because otherwise they ain't eating.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very true.
So what made you start this business?
I got to be blunt, Jen. It was pure accident. I remember as a young kid, when I was in my early 20s, I was successful in business already. I was doing other things. I'd been in business myself since I was 15. And people asked me to speak and they said, can you come talk to us about how you succeed in business and stuff? And it's like, you're a young guy that's succeeding. That's miraculous because apparently young people are stupid. Can I just get one of my bugbears out? Anyone bitching and moaning about the millennial generation? Just remember, do you know who the biggest complainers about the millennials are? The people born in the 60s or raised in the 60s. Oh my God, you people were the worst and you're bitching and moaning about them.
Exactly.
Sorry, Jeffrey.
No problem. I was raised in the 50s. But
it just because I got to teach and I fell in love with teaching, Jen, and one thing happened. People kept coming to me afterwards saying, can you help me? Can you help me? And I was like, just call me each week and I'll coach you through stuff. And eventually I sat down and said, hang on, this is going to be a bigger business than these other things that I'm running, print shops and pizza businesses and stuff. And I was like, let me go and try that.
Wow.
Were you in Australia at the time?
I was. Brisbane, Australia was home base and still a very Australian company at heart. We stop for beers at 5 o'clock and we make sure that life is good.
Cool. And I'm assuming you're Australian rules rugby, correct?
Well, Australian rules and rugby are two entirely different sports there, Jeffrey. Australian rules is the toughest sport in the world. Rugby is about the second toughest. So, but definitely all of the above. I'm just a sports fan. I love sports.
Yeah, that's obvious. I follow Brad Not, you know, I'm not a stalker, but I am a listener.
And close.
Yeah. He is a big hockey fan now in Vegas, where he lives a lot of the year. And he's a big, you know, it's a big sports
Golden
fan.
Knights, buddy. Golden Knights. You know, the ice hasn't melted. We're still playing.
And I think that you need to check his Instagram out. Maybe you want to – we'll put that in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because you have a good Instagram following, and you ride around your car every day and tell stories on Instagram, which is pretty cool.
And well, you know why that happened? My staff said to me, you got to make some more video content. You got to do more stuff. And I'm like, but when? The only time I get to myself is in my car. And they said, good idea.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I'm
– I love that.
I'm starting my Instagram story series, which will be somewhat unique, but I think compelling. I'm going to tell stories about real salespeople and how they win and how they lose. And when you talk, you're talking about life. You're talking about business. You're talking about why people are stupid and why they're smart. And you have to listen.
You know, I think that one of the biggest challenges is life doesn't come with a manual. You know, and some people get to work stuff out sooner than others, and some people study stuff better than others. And, you know, you need to turn to them for advice at the right times. And that's, I was lucky that I learned business real early. You know, I was very lucky that I won the Rotary Youth Leadership Award at 16 years old, and they sent me away for a week's long training. Imagine being 16, you get sent for a week's training on how to be a leader and how to be successful. That just changed the trajectory of my entire life, that 1 week. So, yeah, that was kind of cool.
That's very cool.
And what did you learn when you went to Tasmania?
Well, I love that a guy from your part of the world that has the Hornets playing for him tries to be smart with me. I mean, come on. Really?
Well,
that's a fair statement.
No, every 4 or 5 years, we tend to give away our best player. And that way we stay mediocre.
I believe your team is actually in the tradings game. Let's buy a good player and build him up and then trade him to someone else so that we can make money that way. I don't think there's any other way they make money.
Too stupid. We trade him. I try to trade him the year that his contract is up and don't realize that, oh, wait, he's going to be a free agent in 5 months. Why don't I just wait and hire him?
Yeah. You know, can I tell you something, Jen? The best thing that Jeffrey ever taught me?
Yeah.
It's someone always wins the sales. It's not always the salesperson. I love that. That was one of the things that was like, I don't know who's going to win this sale, me or the customer, but I'm trying.
I love that.
Exactly. And I think that it's important to understand that in Brad's business, he has to convey not just information to his coaching clients. He has to convey hope and promise that they can become who they want to become. And he's brilliant at that, by the way.
Well, business ownership, Jeffrey. Business owners are the loneliest people in the world when it comes to their job, because who are they going to talk to about their problems? They got no one. They can't go to their bank manager and tell them their problems. In fact, they hide everything from their bank manager. You know, it's not a great thing. And so when you're a business owner, and all salespeople are, I mean, every salesperson owns their own business, whether they like it or not, that's your thing.
Totally.
You have only one person that is accountable and responsible for you making the buck, and that's you. And who is on your team? And that's why one of the big reasons, Jen, that Action Coach, should not only do I start it, but I love doing it. And I have so many other businesses that we own and are investors in, but this is the one I love. This is the one that every day I get excited about, why I keep writing books and I keep teaching and keep traveling the world.
Hey, everybody. This is Gina Tremarco.
And Rachel Tipton.
And we are
Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the new podcast that does what?
Makes sales sexy again.
What's this podcast about, Rachel?
It's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks. And it's filled with laughter, random chatter, practical advice, and some serious stuff.
It's not just for women, though, right?
No, it's a blend of best business practices and real life hacks for men and for women.
Listen to us on the Sell or Die Network,
womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com.
Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, and anywhere that you can find podcasts. And
be sure to subscribe, comment, share our podcast, and give us a review. Tune in and listen to
Women Your Mother Warned You About.
The podcast that makes sales sexy again.
You've been warned.
So let's talk about the book.
Number 17.
Come on, let's see it.
I've got the Jeffrey full color print and, you know, even got the little thing to put the book
back in. Now you're talking, bud. All right, now you're talking. Where is it? Who printed it?
Cranberry Press is our publishers, and I'm not sure who the printer was, but they did a nice job. 370-odd pages of, you know, can I tell you how I got to write this book?
Yeah.
Sitting with one of my buddies, and he said to me, it just seems like magic the way that Apple and like IKEA and these companies make money. It seems magic. And I'm sitting there going, it's not magic. It's just a formula. Sales is a formula. Business formula. Marketing is a formula. There's a recipe for growing a business. If you don't know the recipe, you can't cook a good business.
Correct.
So I had to sit down and say, okay, how do our clients that have exponential growth, like year on year on year on year, just continually grow? How do they do that? So I sat down with one of my top coaches and we examined all of our best clients that were doing that and said, here are the five disciplines that they got to do.
What are they?
Well, number one is the discipline of strategy. Most business people don't actually have a real strategy. They have they went into business to get a job for themselves in the beginning. And most CEOs of large corporates don't understand the strategy of their business. You know, let's just say we're going into the music business. Your strategy could be, I'm a guitarist and I joined a band and I play for a few dollars every night at the local bar. Your strategy could be own the local bar that puts the musicians up. Your strategy could be a label. Your strategy could be, I mean, you could be iTunes. That's a strategy in the music business. Let me just sell everyone's music and take a 30% clip using the stuff that Sony invented, and we'll just do it better than Sony.
I mean, which they're doing, by the way.
Which is not that hard to do. I'm sorry for the CEO at Sony, but you employ a bunch of idiots because you invented the MP3 player, then you let it get away from you, and you own the majority of the music on the planet, and you're paying Apple 30% clip for everything. You're crazy.
Can you clarify something? Should it be – I think CEOs erroneously call it marketing rather than strategy.
Well, see, they think that – see, and business development is another discipline of the five disciplines, but strategy comes back to what is your methodology of going to market? How do you actually position your product? What way are you selling your product? See, you look at Disney. Disney is a genius at strategy because they have every different methodology of selling the mouse, but then their business development, the sales, the marketing, the customer service is the next discipline where, yeah, you've got to be stronger in all three of those. And it's easy to do sales if your business isn't growing. If you're just trying to replace the one customer you lost, sales is dead easy. If you're trying to do exponential year-on-year growth, sales has to be innovative. It has to be new. It has to be different ways. You have to keep growing your sales and your marketing and your customer service pipeline. Customer service used to be, hey, we have dial-up internet in our hotel. Customer service is now, we have free broadband that you don't even have to put a password into to get it in our hotel. See, it changes year on year, and your customer and a CEO who thought that their customer service 5 years ago was good is going to get beat up today.
Horribly.
Yeah.
Discipline three, people. You don't grow a business, your people do. You know, we said this at the start, you know, if your people can't outperform their training, they can't outperform what they've trained to do. And if you're not recruiting today, I talk to CEOs every day about recruiting, and I just look at them and go, tell me your recruiting strategy. And they look at me and go, well, I got a HR person.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, what are you doing to be on Glassdoor? How are you building your team? How are you, you know, all of these things about human beings, which goes back to my dad's first lesson to me on business. I was 19 or 20, and I said to him, you know what, Dad? I can't get good people. He looks me dead in the eye because my dad's as blunt. He's almost as blunt as you, Jeffrey, almost. And he says to me, son, you get the people you deserve. You know, you're an average manager running an average business. The highest caliber employee you're ever going to get is average.
Ooh.
When I have a guy tell me there's no good people out there, I tell them there's plenty of good people out there, dude. They're just not working for you.
Yeah, and they don't want to work for
right.
you.
Exactly.
Let me tell you why. So, yeah, your people is a massive part, Jen. I think that You know, and we talk about it just from a sales perspective. I don't care. You hired a sales guy. Yeah, but what are you training him in today? What was his training this morning? Well, we don't do training every day. Well, you're stupid. You know, if you hire a racehorse, how often do you train him? Every day. Okay. You know, fourth discipline is the discipline of execution, which again, easy to do if you're not a growth business. But if you're growing, your systems that work for 50 customers won't work for 500. Your systems that work for 5,000 customers won't work for 5 million. Your systems that work here in the US will work for maybe one state, but not all states. Your systems that work across here won't work across the world. So your execution has to grow with everything and your planning and all that stuff. And then finally, fifth one is the discipline of mission. How is the human connection made? How do you get it that people love doing business with you, don't just do business with you because you got a cheap price? How do you get your staff to love coming to work and feel like they're part of a mission, not just coming to work for a paycheck? So they're the five disciplines that we explore over 370-odd pages and buy that dang book.
I wanted to say something when you talked about execution. You ever go to a restaurant and the service is crappy because the restaurant is full? And they go, well, we're awful busy right now. Like, dude, that's the fucking bonanza.
That's what you should have planned for.
Hello.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly. That absolutely blows me away. Or you get to a hotel and they say, well, we were full last night and you can't check in for another 3 hours.
That's what I do love about my city here in Las Vegas, brother. We're at 98% occupancy. And we plan that every single day, you know?
That's true. You do.
It's unbelievable.
What do you think? So one of the disciplines was execution. What do you think holds people and even salespeople back from executing, from taking action that's necessary?
Can I be really blunt?
Sure. Please.
No, tell us we're pretty.
Because they're just lazy.
Huh.
Most salespeople just don't do the numbers. They just don't. You know, and when it comes to it, it's my best sales trainer ever, a gentleman who trained me real early on. He literally got it, you know, with the old phones, right? You had the rotary dial phones. He literally taped my hand to the phone. He said, you got 20 connects and 5 sales, I'll cut it off. Other than that, you're there. But what if I need to pee? You're there. Do your numbers. See, people set goals, Jen, in sales. They go, I got to make 20 calls. No, you don't. You got to make 5 connects. Not 20 calls, 5 connects. Do you know what I mean? And it's that
totally.
Simple thing.
I totally agree.
And salespeople also, if I can flip it back, they have poor strategy. They get on the phone to someone and they have no clue why they're calling them. They have no set sales approach to call that person. They just call and say, hey, I'm calling up, see how you doing. How's the weather? And you got to structure an approach. You got to test it. You got to measure it. You got to work it down to it. And even flip it over. What are you doing to get them to call you? How's your marketing doing? Because if your marketing, I love salespeople who bust their hump every single day to go out there and prospect. I love them because that was me for many, many, many moons. And then I learned marketing. I was like, hang on. I can get 1,000 people to call me every week. What am I doing going out and doing one at a time when I can get 1,000 to call me? And then Jeffrey says it. He sees me on stage, right? I get on stage. I sell 500 people in one sales presentation. That's so much easier than 500 one-on-ones.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, when it comes to execution, though, I think, you know, I'm a firm believer in blocking time for salespeople. You know, you got your prospect time, right? First thing in the morning, middle of the day, last thing in the afternoon, 1 hour, just bang it out. Do the numbers. And the rest of the time, do your paperwork, do your other stuff, do your follow-up, but just bang it out when you need to do it. Break it up in days.
Do you think that person-to-person visits are still as effective as they once were?
100% belly-to-belly human being interaction will always be the best sales thing there is. But is there enough time in the day and is there enough ability to do that is the question. So, yeah, look, the worst form of communication is email. It is the worst form of human interaction. Text messaging is better than emails, for God's sake. You know, but when can I be really blunt about most salespeople? They hide like little babies behind social media.
Exactly.
And like, Oh, but I did my social media posts and I've done my Facebook for the day. Shut up.
Right. You know,
I love that.
I'll reveal this to the audience. I'm writing a book for millennials called Pick Up the Fucking Phone.
So make sure the first chapter says everything. They won't read the second one.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
You know what? That would be cool. Just have chapter one printed and then the rest of the book blank.
Yeah, yeah. That's all it is. There's only one chapter. How many chapters in the book? One. You know, a lot of my books, now that I've written 17, a lot of them were, you know, I told them in parables because I didn't want people to just stop at the first chapter. It's like there is only one chapter. It's a story.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Are you familiar with magic? Do you like magicians?
I love magicians.
In Vegas, it's like it's one of the prime products.
I mean, I'm good buddies with Penn and Teller.
Cool.
Actually, next week, I'm going to get him to actually, for a promo for me, pull the book out of a hat.
Oh, dun, dun,
That's really cool. He's a good, he's a good guy.
You know, I think magicians, though, and it's the same as anything, magicians are just a systematic methodology of creating an outcome. Mm-hmm. And that's what sales is, what marketing is, what business is. But if you don't learn the system, don't expect to get the outcome.
And they're brilliant, by the way, in concert or whatever you want to call them. Their stage act is amazing.
And it's refined down to the absolute everything. It's it's like the world's best sales pitch. They've got it word for word for word, step for step, action for action. It's rehearsed a million times.
And I often teach
my people when it comes to, you know, that first part of any sales process, if you can't do it word for word, nail it and have the expression right and be like a Shakespearean freaking play, then get the heck out of sales. You're a performer at that point. Yeah, you got to shift across once you start getting feedback and stuff, but you got to perform and be an artist.
Well, Penn and Teller have been doing it for, I think, 30 years. In Vegas, literally. I've seen them 10 times. I just think they're absolutely wonderful. They beat the shit out of other magicians because they'll show you how they did the trick. But their illusions are immaculate. They are immaculate.
Yeah. I love this city I live in. You know, I think this is one of the most amazing cities in America. And people often ask me, why do you live in Las Vegas? And I always mess with them and say, well, we don't live in Vegas. We live at the MGM. You know, kids run around the slot machines, have a great time.
Yep.
And of course, every now and again, you get that moron who goes, really? Oh, wow.
God.
Do they actually pump in oxygen?
Yeah, they do, you know. But, you know, I love this city from a fact that you can learn so much about business just by going down on that strip and just seeing how these restaurants run and seeing how these chefs curate and these clubs do amazing jobs every night of turning over millions of dollars in a night with customers that were not coming in yesterday.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
it's amazing business lessons.
One of the reasons an act can last so long is that people go for 3 days and go home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
the magic of that city is if you stay a fourth day, you're in trouble.
If you stay the fourth day, you're staying forever.
Yeah.
You're stuck. Even Nicolas Cage is stuck here now. You know, the movie got him. He's stuck.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's actually a pretty sad story, but that's another issue. So what are you going to do? Now you have this great book, and it is pulling profits out of a hat. As you know, and as everyone who's listening here, diehards know, they want more profit. You don't make more sales. You make more profit. Because I can sell anything to anybody at the lowest price on the planet and make no profit. So the key word is profit, and most salespeople don't think about the word profit. They think about the word sale. You very rarely hear somebody say, hey, I just made a lot of profit. They say, hey,
I just made another sale. Or I made commission, yeah. So
how do you convey that to your audience?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, the average CEO is profit remunerated. The average salesperson isn't. Salespeople's remuneration is not based around profitability, and that's why it's harder for them to focus in on that. I mean, what you do it with people. But I come back to a very, very simple point, and that is that, you know, we have people in our organization. They're going to do a great job, a bad job, a good job. if I want to double my business, I got one of two choices: double the number of people or double the productivity of the existing people. Which one's cheaper and more profitable?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I look at the discipline of people and say how well you're taking care of and building the humans determines so much of the profitability. Execution determines profitability, all these things.
You talk about profit limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that and what some of those beliefs are.
Well, let's first of all define profit limiting beliefs. Okay, let's do a real simple one. Everything gets slow in summer. You know, we're too busy, like over the Christmas break.
Yeah, everyone's on holiday. Right.
Yeah, everyone's on vacation. These are some of the profit limiting beliefs that are just, you know, some of the most fundamental ones. But then again, you know, we go back to like can't get good people, can't, you know, all of these profit limiting beliefs. Oh, look, the market is saturated, there's too much competition, all this sort of stuff. Oh, we can't sell in India. India is too hard for us to do business in. You know, one of the craziest things that I'm so lucky I grew up Australian, because Australia is a country, it's geographically 80% as big as America. There's 20 odd million people when I was a kid there. So guess where we had to do business if you wanted to make tens or hundreds of millions?
Someplace
else.
You
had to go global.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
One of the biggest challenges for people here in the States, and I'm married to an American, I'll say this to her every single day, there's so much opportunity here. People forget that there's China and India and Brazil and all of these other places around the world. And, you know, now as much as ever, we need to understand that business is global, you know, and that one right there, Jen, I'll give you an example. Chatting with a CEO of a very large company the other day, very large company. And I'm sitting down. He says, you know, we're a global company. I said, really? Show me your website. Pulls up his website. I said, show me how many countries that you can do deliveries to. He's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, if I order something on your side, you got an order off your side, which countries do you deliver to? And of course, I said, what currencies do you accept? You know, and it's just like, there's sometimes we get so tied up. So one of the biggest ones is lack of global thinking. So in a strategy point of view, like for me, the majority of what I do today isn't teach. The majority of what I do is I buy companies and I take them global. I'm like Ray Kroc almost. You know, Ray Kroc found this gorgeous little business called the McDonald's burger business run by the McDonald brothers and said, how do I put this everywhere in the world? You know, and that's really all I do every day, Jen. And a lot of the CEOs I work with, when I go for exponential growth, I just ask them a simple question. What do we got to do to open in Brazil?
Mm-hmm.
And they look at me and go, what do you mean open in Brazil? So what do you got to do to open in Brazil? One of the fastest growing economies in the world, doing a phenomenal job. What do you got to do to grow open in Indonesia? And they're like, what do you mean Indonesia? I said, well, it's, you know, only 130 odd million people, fast growing economy, massive increase in real estate values. They've gone from a dictatorship to now a real decent democracy. How about Indonesia? And they just look at me funny. And it's like, but even small, how do you open in Texas?
Wow.
Just in North Carolina. Let's open in Texas. Let's do that one. Fastest growing state, you know. Woohoo!
Yeah, there's not a strategy for that. There's a strategy for growth, but not specific growth or targeted growth.
And it seems like people didn't even realize that they have these limiting beliefs and that they're holding them back.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, what's another market for your product or service? What's a whole different group of people that want to buy from you? What's a whole group of products or services that you could add to your existing customer base that they're already buying from someone else that you could be profiting from? There's so many of these questions that when you sit with CEOs and you sit with business owners and you sit with salespeople, you know, a salesperson that's done the same thing for the last 5 years, I want to beat that guy. You know, it's normally a guy, by the way. The gals are normally far more innovative and actually doing things. The guy gets stuck in his way. I don't know what that is. It's maybe this little thing called ego. Oh, my God. That one's a fun one to teach around.
Well, women can outsell men. 10 to 1. I mean, I have 4 daughters, 4 granddaughters, and Jen is my partner. They have a closing ratio of about 125%.
You know, buddy, now that I also have 4 daughters, I have 1 son, I get sold real quick by all of them. So it's like, you know.
Boom. And the littler they are, the better their closing ratio.
But they also have kids are the best salespeople. You know why? They don't take no for an answer.
That's
they just
true.
Keep coming back. And it's like, You know, yeah. Until dad yells, no, like you gotta yell it. And that's what, if you're not going back until the customer yells at you, no, then keep going back.
I have for years told a story about if you're in the aisle of the grocery store with your mother in the checkout aisle, you're willing to take corporal punishment to get a candy bar.
Oh, yeah.
And not even, yeah. I see it. Because I do our family shopping.
He loves going to the grocery store.
Yeah, totally.
I don't.
Really?
I have buddies really? There now. Yeah, I buddy the manager. I get them. I got the guy to sell me Starbucks tea bags at cost.
And they don't even sell Starbucks tea bags.
Right.
All I got to say is this, Jeffrey. You know, I love your strategy of making friends. That's just fantastic, buddy. Oh, congratulations, all thank the grocery you. Store people. You're buddies.
They really are. They really are his buddies.
But part of the secret to me of being great at sales is talking to everybody.
Oh yeah.
You know, your mom said don't talk to anybody. I talked to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you a fun story about that?
Sure.
When I first came to America, I lived up in the Bay Area. And I'd go down to L.A. every couple of weekends just to see what L.A. was like. And I walk up to this bar, and I'd been at the place all day. So I'd tip the girls. They took real good care of me. I walk up to this bar, and the guy who was the bouncer at the place, his name was Stewie. He's from New Zealand. And so we became good buddies. He introduced me to two very, very, very famous people to sit with for drinks afterwards. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just go to the bar and get drinks. I'm Australian. That's what you do. You go to the bar. You don't, you know, harass someone and make them go get them. I'm standing at the bar and this guy's next to me. And I turn around and he goes, and I say, hey, how you doing? He's like, you're not from here, are you? I said, well, the accent give it away. He's like, no, this is California. We don't talk to people here.
Right.
And I said, well, I'm from Australia. I talk to everybody, even assholes like you. So how you doing? And you know, we end up chatting for a little while. And then he goes and sees who I sit with. And he's like dying to talk to me all of a sudden.
That's funny. That's very funny. Well, hey, this has been great. Everyone needs to go out and get a copy of your book, Pulling Profits Out of a Hat. We are going to post a link to it in the show notes. Thank you, Brad, for coming on our show.
And we will see you again when the profits are actually out of the hat, because we want to talk further about how the philosophy and the concept has worked. Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom. Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.